Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas. most of us, I hope. my sermon title for today is A Place of Refuge. And we're back to Matthew 2nd chapter 13 through 23. Entitled to Escape to Egypt. Amen? Okay. So verse 13 says, when they had gone, meaning the Magi, now remember, the gifts they had left, in my studies, I saw that those gifts would be provisions for their upcoming trip to Egypt. And the Lord always provides for his faithful. Amen? So, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So, this command was urgent and came right when the wise men had departed. It would not have sounded completely strange to Joseph that they should find refuge in Egypt, because at the time, in Egypt, there was about a million Jews in Egypt at the time. So, that would make it safer for his family and for the baby Jesus. Amen. Besides, Joseph was very obedient to the Lord's commands and everything he did. 1 John 3:21-22 says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him everything we ask. We keep his commands and we do what pleases him. So Joseph kept the Lord's commands in everything he did. And knew that the Lord would bless him. Spurgeon writes how obedient Joseph was. He was a man of docile spirit who willingly did as God bade him. He has perhaps never had his character sufficiently well set forth in the Church of God, for he was eminently honored by being the guardian of the young child and his mother, and he discharged his duty with singular humility and gentleness. So Joseph obeyed God, and he was honored to be essentially the foster father of Jesus. Amen. Verse 14 says that Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. Checking my pictures there. Where he stayed until the death of Herod. So Joseph's rapid leaving the same night of the dream and complete obedience is impressive and quite the example to follow. It's very unlikely that Joseph ever imagined when he got engaged to Mary that he was going to be going through all this. Amen. But so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet Hosea, which said, out of Egypt I called my son. So this is all prophecy coming true. Amen. So for the second time, God is speaking to Joseph through an angel in a dream. And the prophecy of Hosea would be fulfilled, which says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Even though Egypt had been a house of bondage to Israel and the Jews, and particularly cruel to the infants of Israel, it would be a place of refuge for the Holy Child Jesus. You see, when God pleases, he can make the worst of places and situations serve the best purposes for the kingdom. Amen? After all, he is the creator of the universe, right? woo! This would be a trial of faith for Joseph and Mary, but their faith would be found firm. It's nothing new for God's son to be in Egypt, in a strange land, in a house of bondage, but they shall be fetched out. They may be hidden in Egypt, but they shall not be left there. All the elect of God, all of us, being by nature children of wrath, are born into a spiritual Egypt, which is this fallen world. And in conversion, we are effectually called out as Christians. It might be objected against Christ that he had been in Egypt. Just look at the persecution of today. Why, just Friday morning, there was an attack in Egypt on a Christian Orthodox church, and they killed 10 Christians. So, nothing's changed. We're still under attack, and we're still going to be called out of our fallen world. Matthew Henry writes, must the Son of Righteousness arise out of that land of darkness? But this shows that to be no strange thing, Israel was brought out of Egypt to be advanced to the highest honor. And this is but still doing the same thing. Will we be brought out of this land of darkness into eternal glory in the same way? The Lord called me out of darkness in my life many times. Has He or will He do the same thing for you? Amen. Isaiah 1:18 says it well. Come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they are red as crimson, they shall be like white like wool. Do we trust God when He speaks to us today, even in the worst situation? Are we faithful? We sure do, brother. Amen. Would we put our wives and our children on the back of a donkey to travel 75 miles because the Lord told us to? Or would we try to find our own place of refuge? Would we try to find an easier way out? Would you? Verse 16 says, when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys of Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years and old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. So Herod, you know, he waited a long time for the return of Magi in hope that they would be sure and then they would, you know, take care of the business that he sent them on. But when he hears that they've gone off another way, it increased his jealousy and it prompted him to massacre all the children under 2 years old in Bethlehem. And though Jesus was thought to be about a year old at the time, he wanted to be sure, you know. He wanted to, so he had him massacre all the children that were two and under. But you see, the murder of these children was actually their martyrdom. And meaning they were killed because of their religious beliefs, of the people at the time. You know, how early did persecution against Christ and His kingdom begin? Did it begin when He was a child? Did it get worse, or did it begin when later on with, you know, emperors, with the evil emperors they had like Claudius and Nero? It's just always been persecution against Christ and His kingdom. Amen. Matthew Henry writes, Herod now thought that he had baffled the Old Testament prophecies. He thought, you know, his effort of the wise men in finding Christ, he thought that he was going to take care of himself since they didn't do it for him. But whatever crafty, cruel devices are in men's hearts, the counsel of the Lord shall always stand. Amen. So the salvation of the world, Jesus, concealed and yet well known, a child hated and feared, yet longed for and loved, notably despised and yet marvelously honored, threatened by extreme dangers and kept in perfect safety, the Lord was saved. Where is He that has been born King of the Jews? For the road to Christ and the decisive conflict along the way, even for Mary and Joseph, and for us as well, are always a long journey. They're always a path of severe self-denial. They're always a path full of dangers, and they're always a path abound in obstacles. But they're always a path to the one true goal. Amen? Rewards for perseverance in the path to Christ equal great joy and most of all, eternal life. Amen? Woo-hoo! Merry Christmas. To celebrate every day of the year, amen? So hardships and persecution, they build our faith and they build our perseverance. And, you know, and the Lord will always get us through them, amen? Verse 17 and 18 say, then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, reaping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because there are no more. Now Rachel, who was buried in Bethlehem, is pictured weeping from her grave as Herod's orders to kill all the boys are carried out. This quotation from Jeremiah 31:15 originally referred to the mourning of Israel's mothers during the conquest and captivity of the nation. But here, Rachel is just is a representation of Bethlehem's mothers crying for their children. Amen. So at that time, so the return to Nazareth. After King Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared for the third time to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel." So for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But you see, the ruler of Judea at the time, Archelaus. Okay. I'm trying. Archelaus. I'm learning. Archelaus. Amadeus. Was reputed to be extremely wicked. Okay, so in two different dreams, God first told Joseph to return to Israel, and then once he got there, he warned Joseph for the fourth time he spoke to him in a dream to move the family north to the safety of the district of Galilee. But when he heard, that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father, he did as he was told, and he got up and he withdrew to the district of Galilee. So, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, that he would be called a Nazarene. So, while in reality, no Old Testament prophet actually states that he would be called a Nazarene, the prophets do say that Jesus would be despised and rejected by mankind. Nazareth, where Jesus would grow up, was a despised and rejected place. So that was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. Amen? Are Christians despised and rejected today? Yes, we are. They're even murdered and martyred in some countries. And just look what's happening in Israel today. Any for that matter. Thank God we have leaders that are willing to help God's chosen land today and fight against terrorism and fight against oppression. Thankfully, we are essentially safe to worship our Lord in America anytime we want. Amen? Are we fulfilling Old Testament prophecy today? Remember in Matthew 24, which we will be studying soon, the disciples asked Jesus, "When will this happen? And what will be the sign of your second coming and the sign of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Does this sound familiar? Just turn on CNN, right? Are we on the verge of the tribulation today? According to the principle that each one of Daniel's 70 weeks equals 1 year, and Jerusalem was recognized once again as a country and free to rebuild in 1948, could 2018 be the beginning of the tribulation? This speculation, of course, only God knows the time and the day. But are we ready? Are we faithful to the end? Remember, our ultimate place of refuge is eternal. May you all stay faithful. The end may be nearer than you think. God bless. Amen. Thank you.